Celebrate football season at Apex Entertainment. When New England wins, kids win. Visit Apex in Marlboro after a win, and you'll receive a free kids meal with the purchase of an adult meal. Offer valid for X-Card members and for children 12 and under. Visit the website for details. Apex's 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages with go-karts, bowling, arcade games, laser tag, and more. Catch the games while enjoying their great beer selection and delicious appetizers. Apex Entertainment in Marlboro.
B-Pod Studios.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
Hour two here of Felgram As on a Big Boy Tuesday. Big Boy Tuesday is Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. We'll do 10 questions this hour. We'll start to look ahead a little bit to the Bills later on this hour, but as promised, we'll continue with your phone calls on whatever you want. Pat Amesbury, go.
Hey, just calling because, you know, Titans without Henry dropped 270 on this run defense. They didn't face Chubb. They didn't face McCaffrey. I think Cordell was out that game against the Falcons. The Colts game's coming up. It's looking pretty important. Thoughts on the run defense as a place of exposure for this team?
So McCaffrey did play, but the point is their running game, run defense sprung some leaks. What going forward, are there concerns or was that a one-off?
I was concerned watching the film. I thought they largely got beat up in this game up front, at least defensively. I thought the offensive line as a whole held their own. But this is the first time this was unusual for me because normally what we've seen is if the other team does something well, then the Patriots shut it down and make them one-dimensional. You knew the Titans were not going to be able to throw in this game, and you figured they would stop the run. Maybe they thought the run was going to be no threat with these two practice squad running backs. And so they went a little bit easy there. But this, yeah, it was very unusual. I didn't have a good feeling from it, but I'm not ready to draw a larger conclusion from it yet because it seemed like a one-off. Maybe it was just a letdown game. I don't know.
Tim and Blackstone, what do you got?
Hey, Greg. I'm not sure what you've been hearing, but do the Patriots have any expectations for Cam McGroin or Joshua Bledsoe? It seems like it could be a good time of year to get a little youth injected into that older linebacking core. Do you actually see them as a realistic option for this year, or are they just getting the 3 weeks of IR activities in, and then we'll be on the shelf? Thanks, okay. Greg.
So these are two of their rookies that they drafted who have been out. The Bledsoe thing was like wrist surgery after the draft, the longest wrist surgery I've ever heard of. Maybe it was complicated. And then McGrone's coming back from ACL. I have not heard anything about them. I have a hard time seeing them. Maybe they have special teams value, and if somebody gets hurt, then they could entertain it. But the way the team is going right now and their relative health, I have a hard time seeing those guys do anything this year. And, you know, just take the redshirt year and run with it.
Tim in Marblehead, what do you got, Tim?
I thought the fumble punch out by, Godchuck, was an unbelievable one. He was being manhandled by someone else, got his hand in there, and, you know, it was a big play anyway. And one of the bigger things in the NFL this year, which I don't know if it's CBS or the NFL, is the doink factor on the missed field goals.
Yeah, they've mic'd up those goalposts really well. It's a good sound effect that they got going on there. The Godchuck thing, that was bad ball security.
Horrible.
I mean, look, he made a nice play to get his hand in there. I can't remember how badly he was being blocked or whatever, but I thought Hilliard was holding that real loose on that one.
Yeah, and in fact, even Foreman, again, I thought they both did. And so Jackson made a good play. He really went in there and hammered that thing hard. And Foreman's a big dude. I don't know if you remember him when he was with Houston. I thought he was pretty good when he broke in with Houston. I thought he had a chance to be a half-decent player. Mm-hmm. But even so, the first one, the guy had the ball out here.
Mike in Medway, what do you got, Mike? Michael! J.C. Jackson's interceptions is what his comment line said. Is J.C. Jackson going to be the highest paid corner on the market this offseason?
If I'm him, I'm asking for it.
So how does this all play out? You know they're not going to, like...
They have to tag him. I mean, unless, and here's the big X factor, is Bill and Bolden by this year, and then they've gone to more zone defense, and he says, you know what? I don't need a man guy who thinks he's worth at least, you know, $19 million a year. It could very well happen.
That's what he's looking for.
Then you look at a tag and trade. I think he's at least tagged, and then you see what's out there. Maybe you do entertain a trade.
Here's Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys.
Mary.
So I think that from all the players and coaches that have left New England, the one that has the best institutional knowledge is Vrabel. And what I mean by that is that he always makes the games competitive. And I actually thought this game, at least in the first half, was pretty competitive. And, you know, they didn't even have their best player, Derrick Henry, on the field. So I was just, you know, wondering what this game would look like if he was on there. So I'm not really ready to crown them. I think they've been doing really well, but I'm not really ready to crown them the best team yet. So I'm giving them partial credit.
Oh, partial credit, Mary. Don't fall into the trap. Good job, Mary.
This game gave me a little bit 2010 Jets vibe that I don't want to see this team again down the road. I want somebody else to knock them off. Vrabel knows how to attack your run scheme, attack your passer. He knows how to play offensively against this team. He knows your weaknesses. He's the one guy. Somebody else take care of him. I don't want to deal with the Titans again.
And let me tell you something. This was competitive into the fourth quarter. People who think this was a no game in the second half. The Titans, as Bedard just pointed out, the Titans are inside your 5-yard line in the fourth quarter, down 13.
Right.
They punch it in there. They're down 6 points in the fourth quarter. This was a competitive game into the fourth.
Might be the most misleading Patriots score of the year.
Agreed.
This was a dogfight, and that's part of the reason why, you know,
it's part of the reason I give them full credit, because I thought it was a real game.
Yeah, but look, they lived on the turnovers changed this whole game, and both running backs were on the practice squad a week ago. It's like somebody, if J.J. Taylor was in the game had to play for the Patriots, somebody lesser than J.J. Taylor, because he's been on the roster all year, some practice squad running back from the Patriots has to play, and he fumbles in the game. You know, are the Patriots saying it's a good play by the defense? They're going to be a no. There's a reason that guy's on a practice squad. Both these guys were on the practice squad. They were loose with the ball. They turned it over. Ryan Tannehill, again, every single game he's played at Gillette, he has thrown an interception. It was not unique to this defense. He does it every single time he plays here. So the Patriots got some plays in this game, but this was a dogfight, and that was a dogfight. To me, Mac Jones bears some responsibility in that with the 1-for-5 in the red zone in their first 6 trips.
I meant to mention this yesterday, so just let me do it quickly now. That play down by the goal line, when they got the 4th and 2, who's the offensive coordinator for Tennessee? Whoever he is, he should be fired. That was horrendous. As soon as they lined up in that formation, the one thing I looked at, because Tannehill was alone back there, and I thought, quarterback draw, run it here. You can't throw against the Patriots down there. You have no receivers. You got 22 guys jammed inside the 5-yard line.
Tannehill's good on those keepers, too.
Oh, God, they should have run a quarterback draw. That was the play. Should have kept the ball and run, you donkeys.
Mac, I'm sorry. This is Peter in Everett. Go ahead, Peter.
How you doing? Middle boy, just to rehash our talk from 2 weeks ago at Atlanta. It's Mac Jones. He cannot throw passes over the middle. It's slow. It extends so slow.
Okay, Peter, I'm just going to, you know, let you go and pick it up, because it's a fair point. The interception in Atlanta, it hung up over the middle down the seam to Janu Smith, I think. And the ball nearly again intercepted. I thought it was a good ball, but it did hang up there to Jacoby Myers on that deep ball that the safety undercut and just missed. Arm strength. If you're just being honest about Mac Jones, you're still saying he doesn't have the biggest arm. And at some points, is that going to affect him?
He does not have high-level physical traits. We all know this. I think he has high-level... Mental traits and competitive traits, which, to me, watching some of the quarterbacking around the league, I'll take that. And I do think his arm's going to get stronger. Does he have some issues? Do some balls hang? Yeah, and he does need to make sure his feet are under him and he steps into things, but it's not a huge issue for them. And for this offense, it's a timing, you know, offense in any about, and he throws with very good anticipation. So it doesn't show up all that often for me when I'm watching the film.
All right, 10 questions. I'm sorry, Maz.
You want to clear your throat, or should I, with regard to Mac Jones and his
Oh, they're going to put him on the program? What are you kidding me?
They should shoot him up like a baby calf.
Right? 10 questions with Greg Bedard is coming your way next. You don't want to miss that.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Crite explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes for Greg Bedard. We got to stay on time. Jimmy, what are our options this week, please?
311. Ooh-wee.
Oh, those were real.
That's Big Jim commenting on Mac Jones's yardage total from Sunday's game. Yes.
Wrong. I'm trying to make a point, so and shut up.
Okay, Bitchy Bedard there.
Yeah. I'm trying to make a point. Can you please zip it?
Okay, another one.
Zip.
Never not once, not even close, and never, ever on my radar. That's me on shopping on Black Friday. Next. That wasn't nice. That was yesterday. Maz being very mean in the opening segment. Next. Don't make fun of me. That's Felger being sensey. Go ahead, hit it. Don't make fun of me. 10, what has happened to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? And as a second tier to that question, where would be a good landing spot for Wilson next year if and when he leaves?
They're terrible. I mean, they are really bad on offense. And I think the offensive coordinator switch has not helped at all. They've gone backwards. And as far as a landing spot for him, I'm going to probably say the Giants until they get a good quarterback. You know, put him in the Big Apple on that team.
It's where he wants to be, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he got hurt, then he quit. He threw a ball last night that sailed over a receiver's head.
In the game.
Yes.
First or second series.
To his left.
In the left flat.
Oh, my God. Did he must have missed that. He must
10 yards over the guy's head.
Oh, God, it was ridiculous. It was so bad.
I saw it.
It was a horrible, horrible throw. And yes, Giants, get him in New York. That'd be fun.
Lifeless operation playing out the string, New York Giants.
Okay, let me tell you, the quarterback carousel is going to be fun this offseason.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers, you know, that still has to play out.
Yep.
And the farther they go, the more interesting that one gets. But Wilson and Rodgers, who are two of the top five guys in the freaking league.
Garoppolo,
Mayfield.
That's three of the top five.
I knew you were going to say that. But anyway, this should be another good offseason in terms of that. All right, next. That wasn't nice. Number 9, do you like the 2-point defensive conversion that we saw last night? Blocked extra point, the big fellow brings it back. Do you like that element to the game?
Of course I do. Big guys running and scoring points? Hell yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It was absolutely great. I only wish it would happen more often.
Agreed. Right. It can shift momentum, and it rewards the defense, which really can't do a damn thing anymore. I just want to see it end a game and really crush the souls of a fan base one of these days.
By the way, can we have a fat guy football competition at, like, the Pro Bowl or something like that? Them, you know, doing all sorts of running back, receiver stuff.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, catching punts or that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'll go real well.
I'm right covering
until
it.
Someone ruptures an Achilles.
Next.
I'm trying to make a point, so
what's the bigger waste of money or more egregious contract? The one Brian Kelly got to go to LSU or Lincoln Riley did to go to USC?
Brian Kelly, no doubt. What has he done at Notre Dame? Like, are they even... I know they're alive for the playoffs, and I think they've been to one or a couple playoffs, but they haven't really been all that relevant.
Yeah, no question, Kelly. Absolutely, Kelly. Notre Dame really hasn't been all that good. Occasionally, they have a year here and there. But at least the other guy has a prolific offense.
Yeah, he helped make Notre Dame relevant over the last decade, but it's Kelly to LSU. So he's now going to go to the SEC to play Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma. Like,
dumb.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
Have you heard some of the perks that Riley's getting at USC, though?
Yes.
Private jet.
They bought him a $6 million house in L.A. They bought, I think he had two houses in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That they both bought off of him at, I think, a 20% markup or 10% markup, something like that, over asking. He has use of a private jet. Is his contract $110 million?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I think it's 110. I think that's guaranteed. Like, I got to be honest. I sometimes wonder, I can't remember who Lincoln Riley is. I'm not a college football fan. But it's like, it's one of these guys where if you went down the street here in Boston and asked
you people wouldn't know. You wouldn't
about
know
Lincoln Riley, people would be like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I initially, when I hear that name, I always think of Lincoln Kennedy.
A
little bit different.
Wow. Anyway, next.
I'm trying to make a point. Can you please zip it?
Get number 7. Give me a good marquee coach for Notre Dame. Someone befitting the brand. And if you hate Notre Dame, put that aside and just think Notre Dame. Who would be a good coach there?
Urban Meyer.
Ugh,
it's his dream job.
It's the automatic. Urban Meyer.
Okay, so I went off the board here. Okay, like I didn't necessarily pick someone in the coaching ranks, but someone who's affiliated with Notre Dame. Tim Brown. Like a guy like Tim Brown. Give me a great player from Notre Dame who could coach there.
Rocket Ismail.
But someone who's got some well, real...
Let's go Joe Montana on that one, then.
Yeah, but except he's old.
Josh McDaniels. He's got some cachet.
I want Urban to go to Notre Dame, so McDaniels goes to Jacksonville. And gets Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, it's that time of year, folks. It's starting in college. It's going to trickle into the NFL, and all this stuff is going to start to really come to the forefront.
By the way, one rule change this year is if their team gives permission... coaches can start interviewing with 2 weeks left in a regular season.
Okay, so like I said, this is coming. Next. Don't make fun of me. Let's begin now, the Bills portion of this segment. Fill in the blank, Greg. I think the Bills Mafia represents...
blank. The biggest collection of loser tool bags east of Minnesota.
And Greg had to write that one down.
Yep.
Yeah, sanitation workers is who I would say. And to find out whatever you want. Janitors, garbage collectors, like whatever, the sanitation department.
Everything great about going to a tailgate. The laughs, the booze, the debauchery, the destruction. That's what it should always be. Funny with a hint of mild crime. That's how you get cranked up for football.
Bad fans or good fans?
Great.
I say good.
Good.
Yeah, they're good fans.
They're good fun. Right. I have my fun with them, but it's fun.
Filthy. Filthy animals. Next.
311. Ooh, wee.
Oh, those were real.
Biggest tool bag Buffalo Bill of all time.
Rob Johnson, the former quarterback.
Ooh,
just
good
a
one.
Poser, loser, just terrible player.
Fred Smirlis.
Freddie, I love you, mean it.
Kelvin Benjamin had the talent, but basically ate himself out of the league, didn't care, didn't try. He's a tool.
Let me just give you the Buffalo Bills moment. I don't know if this guy was a real tool bag as a player, but Thurman Thomas not having his helmet on.
He was on the list.
To start that Super Bowl against Dallas, to me, screams, I'm a Buffalo Bill. So tool bag moment, tool bag guy, just a representative tool bag. Vignette for the Bills Mafia there. Thurman Thomas not having his helmet to start the Super Bowl of all games. Next. That wasn't nice. Number 4, who's your favorite Buffalo Bill of all time?
Cornelius Bennett. Just always made plays.
Biscuit.
Big game player.
Oh, I liked him too. Fred Smirlis.
There you go.
Bruce Smith. Badass deserved better than playing for those losers.
Okay, next.
I'm trying to make a point, so
and
shut up.
Number 3. Here's a list of Buffalo Bills coaches since Belichick took over in 2000. I love these lists. Okay, ready? You've had one coach in the time that the Buffalo Bills have had. Wade Phillips, Greg Williams, Mike Mularkey, Dick Geron, Perry Fuel, Chan Gailey, Doug Marone, Rex Ryan, Anthony Lynn, Sean McDermott. What's that most? Who's the most notable name and why? What stands out the most on that list?
Well, I was going to say Rex because I love Rex. But just looking at the list... Who the hell was in charge who hired consecutively Mike Mularkey, Dick Geron, Perry Fuel, Chan Gailey, and Doug Marone? Like, the biggest collection of just, like, lifeless, without personality, boring-ass head coaches. Just horrible hires.
So you said the most notable name.
Yeah, just give me a tick.
Okay, Perry Fuel. 2-time interim head coach in the NFL. He coached 11 games. He went 3-8. He's like the biggest nobody head coach in the history of the league. Perfect for the Bills in that era.
I'll go with McDermott because he's actually made these losers somewhat credible.
To me, the most striking thing is that Chan Gailey wasn't just there as an interim. You know, he's a perfect guy. He's your offensive coordinator. You fire the coach. He finishes out the last five, 6 games. That's what I think Chan Gailey is. He coached there 3 full seasons. 3 full seasons for Chan Gailey. At 4-12, 6-10, 6-10. Like, that to me is what's tight.
He came out of, like, thin air for that
the
job,
most
too.
Uninspired hire in the ever. And then they wouldn't fire him. He lasted 3 full years. That's what strikes me the most. Next.
Lose. I'm trying to make a point. Can you please zip it?
Number 2. Here's the list of Bills quarterbacks since Tom Brady took over in New England in 2001. So you've had, I guess, now 3 guys, but, you know, work with me. Since 2001, here has who has gotten starts for the Bills at quarterback. Now, a lot of these guys had starts, then came back 2 years later and had more starts. I'm just going to list them once, but a lot of these guys were like 2 or 3 time starters through different portions of their career. Anyway, Alex Van Pelt, Rob Johnson, Drew Bledsoe, J.P. Lossman, Kelly Holcomb, Trent Edwards, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian Brohm, E.J. Manuel, Thad Lewis, here's my favorite one, Jeff Toole, Kyle Orton, Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman, Derek Anderson, Matt Barkley, Josh Allen. What's the name that stands out the most and why?
E.J. Manuel, who they deemed worthy of the 16th overall pick in that draft.
I got to go Peterman. Like, of all the bad players
I
have seen in the NFL, he had a game, I think, where he threw 5 picks, right? Peterman, we've been on the air for 12-plus years. We've said a lot of garbage and crap about just about every guy that has ever played pro sports. This bum was the worst player I've ever seen in any professional sports franchise. His career quarterback rating in the NFL, 34.
Oh, and it was even worse with the Bills, so I'll piggyback off this. It's Peterman. He appeared in 8 games, started 4, had 3 touchdowns, 12 picks, and his passer rating was 32.5.
So, 3 touchdowns, 12 picks?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, what a collection of suck. But what's amazing, and I'm just going to do this off the top of my head, I think no fewer than 4 of those guys were first-round picks, maybe more. Bledsoe, Lossman was a first-round pick, right? Trent Edwards was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. E.J. Manuel was a first-round pick. Was Rob Johnson a first-round pick?
Maybe a second.
Yeah, I think he was a second.
Okay, but like they actually devoted some resources to that position and took 20 years to find a guy that could play. All right, next, Jimmy, last one. That wasn't nice. Number one, what is the most... Greg, you're
going to... Fourth-round pick, Rob Johnson.
He was? Okay, never mind. Number one, what is the most ridiculous thing you have ever seen at Ralph Wilson Stadium, whatever they call it now? Either in person or viewing on TV, either in the stadium or in the parking lot, you name it.
No question. It's the Bildo.
Oh, definitely. It's a runaway. It's not even close. It's the Buffalo Bildo. 100%.
That happened against the Patriots.
What other stadium would someone throw a sex toy on the field?
Yeah.
That's great.
Then there's the actual sex. You get doing in the stadium and outside of it nonstop. That's what it is. That's the most ridiculous thing. Like week in, week out.
There's doing in the stadium?
Yeah. Yeah, like you see a gal sitting on a guy, and stay, like all of a sudden they zoom in, like not on TV, but you know it's all over the internet at least once or twice a year.
Well, thus is why we have the sex toys.
Absolutely,
when they go, on occasion go together.
It's the most sexual stadium in the NFL.
Okay, there with probably the ugliest fans
that's
in the NFL.
That's why Murray goes there every year.
That's 10 questions with Greg Bedard. 10 questions. Greg Bedard has been presented by Granite City Electric. Electrical contractors get on board the GCE Night Train. Order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site and the following morning and save time and money. Go to GCENightTrain.com. Again, Granite City Electric, they want you to get on the GCE Night Train. So order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site the following morning. You're going to be saving time and money. Go to GCENightTrain.com. Back to your phones after the update.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
Felger. Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
As promised, back to your phones with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Bob's in Rhode Island. Hi, Bob. That weird hold thing that happens here from time to time. Paul in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hi. You were talking about how you thought the Patriots called a straight game. I don't know when it was, maybe the second or third quarter. Patriots are defending the left-hand goal, going to the right. I think I saw a flea flicker call that might have collapsed. Jones hands off to the running back. He goes screening up to the right guard tackle slot. Goes to put on the brakes with his feet, and they start to slide. Before he stops sliding, he's turned around facing Jones like he wants to pitch it back. And fortunately, he held on to it, because I think that would have come out like a brick and just landed there for the other team to jump on it.
Is that okay. Was that the win hold? I think it might have been. Because I just think the blocking was so bad on that play that he was like, I need to go someplace else. And he turned around.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. We haven't seen it now in a couple of weeks. Any of the sort of, I don't know, bells and whistles on the offense.
By the way, you have to think that it burned Bill Belichick all offseason that he got swept by Sean McDermott and those guys last year. And he doesn't think much of Josh Allen. I'm sure you're going to play it this week.
Oh, yeah.
The Monday Night Football crew or whoever, Lewis Riddick, who spilled the beans. And Bill, that had to chap his ass the whole offseason.
Jeff and Newton. Go ahead, Jeff.
I had two questions about the J.C. Jackson interception. The first is, even though it was fourth down and they would lose the ball on downs, by That's intercepting, dark. Instead of starting at their 5-yard line, they got out to the 20. And the second question is, I think when J.C. Jackson did the interception, he was following the player towards the right and then had to turn to his left to kind of dive for it. Do you think Tony would have really been able to do an interception if he was on the field?
Yes.
I agree. Tony is in Maserati?
Yeah, yes. I said I would have picked that off.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, McCourty made the play. Can we stop with this?
J.C. Jackson has nice hands.
Yes, he does. He's a good ball hawk.
And if the ball is loose around him, he is going to collect it.
Yep,
he's going to collect
man.
The garbage, McCourty the made the trash, play. Or the loose change. He's good at that. All right? So, wow. Didn't take fans to get possessive and sensitive about J.C. effing Jackson.
Oh, it started yesterday.
Let me drop another Molotov cocktail. This was also Matt Judon's worst game as a Patriot.
Yeah,
when
J.C. Jackson's around, keep your hands in your pockets, okay? Because that guy's going to take your change.
Okay, but I want to hear from you when they won't pay him. And he's holding out or faking an injury or there's some sort of beef in the offseason about his contract. I want you then to call up and rip the team because if this guy is so special, then what's the team doing not paying him?
Yep, that's right. The trash man, loose change, all of it. If you leave it around, he will pick it up.
Joe in Pittsfield. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. I like to ask Bedard. I think one of the problems the Patriots have on defense is if you run straight at them between the A and B gap, and will that cause a problem if they can't stop it, that you play action pass? What do you think about that?
Okay, Greg.
I think it depends on how good the center is for the other team. Because there have been weeks where they've gotten away from it, and I remember there was a game, probably the Falcons game, where Carl Davis was great and dominated the inside, but Ben Jones owned him. And to me, if you want to know if the Patriots are going to have a good run defense that day or not, just watch the center and whoever is on the nose. If that nose is moving backwards, forget it. They're going to have a tough time against anybody.
As we've discussed this, I'll tell you what I'm starting to worry about. It feels like the only teams they stop are the teams that don't have running backs. Like, as I think about it, and even Cleveland ran against them on that first drive. D'Ernest Johnson had 50-something yards on that first drive. They went right down the field. The Carolina game, McCaffrey played, but it was his first game back. He wasn't totally right. Atlanta had no running backs. They shut them down. So I do wonder whether there's a correlation there. I mean, you're not going to see it this week because Buffalo can't run. But I do wonder if, there's more vulnerability there than we want to give it credit for.
I do think, and I just retweeted this, the Bills just got a couple of huge players back. Well, we'll see. Feliciano, their guard, who's been out a long time, he's probably their best offensive lineman. He has been activated. That doesn't mean, I think, to practice. So the window's open for him. We don't know whether he's going to play. They got their rookie right tackle back. off of COVID, and also star Lutulele, the nose tackle, who their run defense has been bad since he's been out. He's also back. Those are big additions. But, you know, as the caller was talking, I was thinking, at first I was thinking, if the Bills could run this week, they're cooked. But do you think this could be a game where Bill gives up the run?
Yes.
And just plays coverage and everything and tries to screw with Josh Allen?
Isn't the whole thing to force Josh Allen to be accurate and
be
patient?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, right. Josh Allen wants to break out of the pocket and sling it all over the field and chuck it all over the place. Get back, give him short throws, give him the running game, and see if he'll take it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely think that's the game plan. Absolutely. That's what they would do sometimes with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning was smart enough to take it.
Right.
Remember those games here where Peyton Manning would just hand off and 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 hand off, and because the Pats would say, you're not going to beat us over the top, we'll give you this, and Peyton Manning said, okay, fine, I'll take it. Josh Allen smart enough or patient enough to do that?
Nope. No.
All right, more of a Bills preview here with the big boy in our long commercial-free segment. Off the top of the next hour, we'll get to some Bruins stuff as well. Feels like the Bruins season is going up in smoke, in flames in front of our very eyes. We'll do that off the top of the four. Bills chatter with Greg on your phones right after this, though.
This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day.
Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Julian Edelman was kind of surprised, I guess. Tackled on about the 3-yard line, and out came an object, a sex object, a sex toy of some sort, thrown on the field that I guess was directed to you and your teammates. Did you see it, and what did you make of that?
I did see it. In fact, I think Gronk pointed it out to me, so he seemed to be the first one to recognize it, so he let the entire huddle know. Unfortunately, the ref kind of nudged it off the field there, so we were able to get back to play.
Tom, someone threw what looked like a delicious-looking sex toy on the field when Chris Hogan got tackled. A delicious, I would say, 6-inch-looking sex toy. Just Tom, like a 6-inch sub you could get at Subway. Subway, now sponsoring this interview. Tom, and what did you think of that, Tom, when someone threw that delicious, delicious-looking sex toy on the field in Buffalo? You know, I know what I was thinking when I saw it. A glistening, beautiful body being tanned in Italy. Your body, Tom.
Tom? What are you wearing, Tom? Are you wearing any panties?
Tom, did you see it?
Tom.
Did you see it? I know I saw it.
Tom.
Looks like something from my collection that I use every night.
Okay, easy.
Tom.
Let's help get you in the mood for Monday Night Football in Buffalo.
I miss Murray's Jim Gray.
Seriously.
Patriots, Titans.
Now that thing's like a paid-for podcast, like they still do it, but you can't find it, right?
Yeah.
I get it on my phone.
Oh, okay.
The Apple Podcasts.
Plus Brady not being here, too. I don't know how much people are really into it anymore, but I'll always love it.
Oh, no. We'll go to it when we need it. And, of course, it's Patriots-Bills on Monday Night Football, so just beware of what's coming out of the stands. Parental discretion advised. How do you look at this game, Greg?
I really look forward to it. I mean, I think it's two sort of evenly matched teams. They're much different teams. But I think Buffalo, it's clear to me that they are trying to develop a more physical presence, especially with their offense. They cannot simply rely on Josh Allen being magical back there. That's basically what their offense is. It's like let's put Josh back there. We'll let him throw it or run it or something like that. I mean, he's even this year they run way more QB centric runs, like read options, you know, sweeps with Josh Allen. Like, dude, how much are you going to ask this guy to do? I know he doesn't complain about it. He says he feels fine. He's young, but it's just idiotic. Less of Josh Allen is more. They're going to learn this the hard way, but they just keep doing it and doing it. I will say Daboll has tried to run the ball of late. I think Matt Breida, the quick little former Dolphin, has really added to that offense, has given them a run element. But if it's one dimensional, if it's just Josh Allen in this game, my same criticism holds. He makes way too many critical mistakes at the worst time. He'll try to keep plays alive. He'll get strip sacked. He'll throw into coverage. He'll force things. I don't want to hear, you know, the Chris Sims of the world, who I love, who defend Josh Allen all the time. He's whining about how he doesn't have all that many weapons. No, it's because they can't run the ball. No one defends the run because you don't have to, because their line's not good. They don't have good running backs. They don't stick with the run. So you just play defense. I don't care how many weapons you have. If you can't run the ball and make the defense respect that, they will defend the run, the pass all day long.
I mean, the game opened, I think, at -3. Bills -3. My initial guess was I thought the game was going to be like 4, 4.5. Like, I thought Buffalo would get a tick more than that just because of the disparity in talent. And I don't think the disparity in talent's huge. But Vegas is telling you the game's even. I mean, that's what Vegas is telling you. So I think the Patriots have won a lot of people and the Bills have lost a lot of people.
What are the numbers did you come up with, Maz, looking at this game?
So look, defensively, you know, when you assess the Bills and the Patriots in a bunch of different areas, they're really, really close. So, for example, naturally, I got to look at them here on the fly, Mike. But they have, if you look at them in red zone defense, for example, first of all, in scoring defense overall in the league. Okay, Patriots are now number one. Buffalo's number two. They're 1-2 in scoring defense.
Top two defenses in the league.
Yes.
Does that compute, Greg? Let me just stop right there. These are the best two defenses in the league?
Scoring?
Well, I mean, I know the scoring
says. And the Bills have played a really weak schedule.
Okay, so.
So the Patriots.
Right. So what do we, you know, what is that a function of? Are these the best two defenses in the league, or have they played the right teams, et cetera?
So yeah. Buffalo has played the 32nd schedule, according to footballoutsiders.com, for defense. And the Patriots have played the 30th.
I mean, you know.
So there you go.
Yeah, it makes sense. They totally played bad teams. I'm just giving you the numbers, right? So number one interceptions, Patriots. Buffalo, number two. Two best pass defenses. Turnover differential. Patriots are number two in the league now, behind only Indy. Buffalo's third. So it feels to me that the formulas for the two teams are similar, except for this one area. Oh, and by the way. In the cold hard football facts, passer differential stat that we use all the time, which has been a good predictor of postseason and Super Bowl success. Buffalo number one in the league, Patriots are number two in the league right now. You know, so this again gives you some indication of how even they are. Red zone offense, Patriots are 24th, Bills are 11th. Red zone defense, the Patriots are third, the Bills are 7th. So the one significant disparity in the two teams in those numbers I just read for you really is red zone offense. Buffalo's been much better in the red zone on offense than the Patriots have been. So, you know, could be a key factor in the game.
Okay, Greg, give me some other keys to the game here, the things you're going to be looking at.
Well, I don't – the Patriots traditionally have not had a lot of problems with this Buffalo defense, the Sean McDermott style of defense. I mean, when they have players, whether it was Carolina or Buffalo – they're a tough defense to go against. I mean, I think they have good personnel in Buffalo. I love their safeties. I'm not crazy about their cornerbacks, but there's still a lot of zone. I do think that they're going to have to be balanced. They're going to have to run the ball well. I think they can. Lotulelei being back is big. He's tough to move in there. So that David Andrews, whoever he gets help from, that's a huge matchup in this game. Can they move? They might try to get to the edge, but this is a very fast defense. I wouldn't look for that. So they're going to really have to run the ball between the tackles. They need a big bounce back game from Trent Brown. They cannot get too Mac-centric. They do not want that. They don't want him throwing 40-plus times in a game. Not there, not in this weather or what have you. So they're going to have to stay really balanced. But I like the way that they're playing. They're much more consistent. The Bills, the only thing that you can say about them definitively is that they are one of the most inconsistent teams in the league. They either play really great or they play really bad. They don't know how to muddle through games. The Patriots do.
I put the over-under of Buffalo 15-yard penalties in this game at 1.5. Seriously, I guarantee you the Bills will get a 15-yard penalty in this game. I'd be willing to bet it.
And Josh Allen's going to be good for 2 picks, I think.
So here's, again, Murray emotionally protecting himself from what he feels is the inevitable Patriots victory.
No, I haven't called that yet. I think Josh Allen kind of stinks. I'm with Greg on Josh Allen. Yeah, I know he had 4 touchdowns on that Thursday night game, but he had 2 wretched interceptions
before that.
Okay. Maz, this is where I was going to turn to Tony the Greek over there.
Yeah.
Okay. You said 3?
Bills by 3, yeah.
3, it opened to 3. I haven't checked it in the last day or so.
Who do you like?
I like the Patriots. I do. I like the Patriots. I like the way it's going right now. I think it's going to be a tight game. I'll take the 3 points.
All right.
But give me a couple days. I might change my mind.
Yeah, we do have several days for this to ferment.
That's a curse if you've been following Maz's picks lately.
Big time.
Not exactly on a roll is our Anthony Maserati over here, Tony the Greek. Either way, Greg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll
see you next week, next Wednesday, probably.
We'll do Wednesday next.
Yeah. I'll be at the game, so see you on Wednesday.
All that. Okay. See you next Wednesday. Coming up, I want to get to the Bruins. Feels like the house is on fire. It really does. Feels to me like the season is teetering at best, and at worst is about to go down in flames, up in flames, however you want to put that. Their best player has been suspended. One of their failed first-round picks is now demanding a trade, a la N'Keal Harry. I thought someone made a good analogy to that last night. So Jake DeBrusque is demanding a trade. Their coach has COVID. He's out. They're out of the playoffs. And oh, by the way, they're bringing back Tuukka Rask. You can now take this to the bank. Don Sweeney pretty much said that today, which means if you're a goalie currently on that team, how does that make you feel? Like a nice little boost of confidence that they keep talking about bringing Tuukka Rask back. So I feel like things have been bad for the Bruins all year, and it feels like it's about to get a lot worse. So we'll hit on all those items. And Marchand defended himself against the suspension as well. So you'll hear from him in his own words. All this coming up in 90 seconds. First, an update from Murray. No commercials here.
The safety of your loved ones has never been more important. That's why Safety Insurance offers the Drive with Safety app, which gives you the ability to monitor driving habits that will help improve the performance of every driver in the family. Plus, save 5% on your auto policy. Ask an independent agent about Safety Insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.